Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Give it up for the DP.
You're listening to Atomicast.
It's all about me.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Like Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special episode of Antisocial Gamer Radio. It is the Game of the Year show, ladies and gents. Welcome to the show. So if you're listening to the podcast, you lazy bastard, you missed out on a great live show that we're about to have. It is the third annual Game of the Year show now. Live on morelikeradio.com, as I usually go live at 9 p.m. UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern. And so, yeah, if you do this on the download, you're missing out. So get yourself in the chat, morelikeradio.com/live, every Tuesdays, and I will be here to entertain you. Well, I try my best. Sorry if I sound a bit shitty. I usually sound like that. No, I had a cold over the weekend, so I'm just getting over it. Plenty of sniffly, wet, runny nose, bed rest, that sort of shit. It is the Game of the Year show, basically, where I sit around and talk about, basically, all the stuff that I've been playing over the year. And basically everyone else has been playing over the year as well. But first I'll go into basically what I've been playing this past week, which is a couple of good things and some very good stuff. Basically, it's good actually. I've enjoyed what I've been playing and what I've been doing. I bought Geometry Wars 3. I was sort of glad that I held out for a little bit when I was going to get this a while ago when I first heard about it. But I sort of held out. And then over the Christmas sort of sales and stuff that happened, it went on sale, basically. So I got it for a bit cheaper, and I'm sort of glad I bought it, because it's an amazing game. It's very hard. It is basically a classic Geometry Wars, sort of asteroids, but with laser beams and, crazy techno music and funk. And it's really good. It's really, really good. I do recommend everyone else to pick it up and play it. But yeah, I say it's pretty much Geometry Wars as you know and love it. It's amazing how good every Geometry Wars game gets after the previous one. I mean, the first one was great. I mean, I wasn't too good at it. It was very, very hard. A lot harder than it is now, to be honest. But the second one, loads of new maps, new modes, tons more fun. This one, I mean, it's like, there's like globe maps and sort of cylinder maps that look like dildos. It's tons of different sort of arenas that you can fight on. And it's just craziness like you wouldn't believe. And it's really, really fun. I mean, it's hard as hell. It really is. I mean, I have to pay a lot of attention to sort of watching all the bits and pieces that are flying across the screen, all the little blue diamonds and the red things that break up into other things that try and attack you, or the little yellow triangle, orangey triangle things that sort of, they come at you in a swarm, or the green things that try to come near you, but then you turn to face them, they run away. There's just so much stuff that's happening with this game, and it's really, really good. I mean, it's a bit, I've maxed out the ship that I get at the beginning, because basically you get, there's multipliers that you can get, and basically the more multipliers you get, the easier it is to reach the score that you need to pass the level with, basically. But these multipliers that you do get, once you finish that level, they get added to a sort of a score, which basically keeps progressing. So you keep getting more and more multipliers for doing different levels, and it builds up. So basically you get, hundreds and thousands and stuff like that. And basically you need that to help upgrade your ship. And with Geometry Wars 3, you get a sidekick, a little buddy sort of thing. And what I've unlocked so far is the miner, which is basically this little circle type thing, which fires lasers, which helps you out, which is great. And it drops mines, as you'd expect, from being a miner. And basically that helps with certain maps, take out enemies and stuff. Yeah, bits and pieces like that. But yeah, and that needs upgrading, so you need points for that. And I say I fully upgraded the ship that I have at the moment, and the miner is mostly fully upgraded. But it's tricky and hard. It really is. But I mean, with levels, with each level, it's like Angry Birds, to be honest. It has a 3-star completion to each level. It's like, you need to reach this score to basically get 1 star, then that score to get the 2nd star, and get the final star at this massive score, which is crazy. But yeah, I say it's a lot of fun. I'm sort of waiting to, I don't know, I mean, maybe just keep fully upgrading the mine. I mean, I've fully upgraded my ship so far at the moment, and it's, the miner, which is, I need to work on. But yeah, I've done the first boss, which was actually really hard, but now that I've actually got better and better at playing the game, the chip I'm using is even more better. But yeah, it's just, the second boss, which I'm up to now, is I don't have enough stars, because I think it's like, 16 stars, and I've got 14 at the moment. So I'm going to have to sort of keep upgrading the miner, or just keep getting better and better. I mean, I'm not saying I'm good. I'm just sort of saying I'm very average, to be honest at this. But it is very tricky and very hard. But it's lots of fun. It's very addictive, and fucking tons of craziness happening in this game. And it's really, really fun. But yeah, I say I'm looking forward to more getting into it, unlocking these upgrades, and just having fun with it. I do feel that bit of a challenge with the stars. It's hard to explain. I mean, I don't like the fact that there's like a star for each level, but I can understand doing it because, there's one level which I basically just grinded and got tons and tons of multiplier points on. I think it's like the 5th one you come to. And that's what helped me upgrade my ship and my little sidekick. But it's a bit, I don't know. It's a bit too hard for what it's supposed to be. But I mean, I'll keep playing and keep playing and keep playing. I'm not going to give up. But I haven't having tons of fun with it. And hopefully, I'll get past the second boss and keep getting more and more upgrades. Because I want more upgrades, and hopefully, I'll sort of break the game where I'll be able to have the best ship and the best whatever. Because literally, I don't even know what these other parts do. Because all the sidekicks do. Because it's all locked up. So when I do unlock it, I'll find out. But yeah, it is tons of fun, and I sort of want to play it now because I've been talking about it for so long. Yeah, it is a really fun game. I do recommend it. Geometry Wars 3, go and pick it up. I got into some Pokemon stuff. I completed the Pokedex, the National Pokedex. Yay for me, I've done that again. That's twice this year I've done this. Twice. Basically this morning I sat on the sofa watching... I don't know what the hell I was watching, something on fucking telly. There's nothing much at the moment, it's all Christmassy shit. And I got... I filled up my Pokedex, completed the National Dex. I got my certificates. And the shiny charm, the oval charm as well. So I've got that for when I want to start breeding. But yeah, I'm pretty much done at the moment. I mean, there's other stuff I need to find in the game, like, you know, find all the the moves, the TMs. I'm missing a couple of the mega stones, which I'll make a habit of trying to find. I've got to unlock a couple of things. I mean, I need to unlock how to get the three Regis, ice, steel, and stone. Regirock, sorry. There's not much to do on this one. I mean, I've finished it, and, you know, once I've unlocked that, I've got to do Regigigas as well. I sort of sacrificed half of my legendary Pokemon that I had to get all the missing ones that I was after. I've done it. I'm good with where I am with Pokemon. I mean, I need to work on my national team for next year, but when we get a date for nationals, I'll, you know, consult some people that I know of who are do well with this sort of stuff and see what we can choose and, you know, what I should go with. But, you know, I've got some ideas for things. But, yeah, I say Pokemon, it's pretty much done with it, to be honest, at the moment. I did make my secret base, though, so that will be something to, you know, be proud of, I guess. I don't know. I picked up, I think it was Route 119, there's, like, a secret base there that's got, like, two separate rooms, and you need planks to go across it. So basically I got that and customised it. I put a bed in one of the rooms filled with, like, three fully evolved starters from the first, you know, from Pokemon Red and Blue. And the other room I sort of made, like, a sort of lounge-type office-y thing with, like, a desk and a TV and some chairs and stuff. And it does look really nice. So I know I need to sort of take my DS when I go, you know, travelling to work and here, there and everywhere to pick up some flags. Because I know I need, like, 1,000 flags to get, the Lucario Nightstone? I say, done with my Pokemon. It's, you know, when come Nationals next year, I'll do something with it. And then basically just put it on the shelf for about, I don't know, fuck knows how many months until I could be asked to do with it. I sold my copy of Pokemon Y and I sold my copy of Pokemon Alpha. So basically everything I have is on this one cartridge. So basically I better not lose it. Otherwise I'm fucked. My Pokemon stuff's all pretty much wrapped up, to be honest. There's bits and pieces to do here and there. But apart from that, yeah, my Pokemon stuff's all good. I mean, I've done a lot of Pokemon this year, but I'll talk about that, yeah, when I do the Game of the Year section. Other thing I have been playing, I talked about this last week. I got into the beta... what the fuck am I talking about? I got into... there we go. Yeah, I got into the trial for Final Fantasy XIV. It's like a 2-week trial thing. I mean, like, I think it's a bastard, really, because we've had that hacker group Lizard Squad, fucking shut down the servers for PlayStation Network and Xbox Live. But hopefully, Anonymous will fucking destroy those useless assholes. I got into it, and it's very, very fun, and it's scary in a way. It's not so scary, you know, as, you know, like I should be afraid of it, but maybe I am a little bit. But it's such an amazing game, and I barely cracked the surface. I've done very little stuff. I've done some, you know, I created my character, which was a Makote, Mayon Makote. It's like a cat person sort of thing. And he's like a marauder, which basically means he uses a giant axe. It's fun. It's good. The character customization is pretty fun. With this character, I'm not going to take it, I've been told I can take it to the main game when I, you know, want to, but I'm probably just going to sort of, you know, delete this one and then, you know, sometime in the new year start up a new character. I've literally done my sort of nerdy, my nerdy stat progression, stuff like I do when it comes to sort of games like this. I'll look up which character's the best, which race is good for this job, which is that job. You know, as I'm sort of thinking about being like an archer or a bard or something like that, But I'm thinking maybe now be like a paladin or a sort of like a damage dealer or something. So, you know, it's hard to explain because there's like so many different job classes and so many different races. I mean, there's like a new race, the Aura, which I talked about, I think, was a news article last week. Yeah, it's just so much stuff to be going on with this game. And I don't know, I'm going to probably wait till the expansion comes out before I start playing it. But I know I definitely want to pick up the collector's edition when I do get it. There's some, you know, nice pieces of loot that will help me out in the game when that does happen. But yeah, I say it is really fun. I mean, I haven't done too much in it. I play it for about half an hour to an hour whenever I do get a chance. I say, yeah, I created my character. I started off in the world. I mean, it's so expansive and sort of, you know, it leaves me sort of stuttering like I am now because it's hard to explain because the world is so big. And the game looks so amazing. I mean, I do have slight problems with the text. I mean, I'm saying literally, I mean, everyone else who's playing this is playing on PC or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I'm playing on a big screen TV from across the room. And the text is too fucking small for me to see. But I mean, there must be some way in it to sort of mess around with the controls and make the words bigger or bolder. Just, yeah, make it a bit bolder would be nice. But I mean, the controls are a bit fiddly as well because it's, yeah, it's usual mouse and keyboard sort of thing, but you're using it on a controller. And some of the stuff I know how to do, but some of the bits, because some of the icons are so small, it's hard to see any of the damn thing that's going on the screen. But I literally need to sort of, you know, when I do get the game fully, pay more attention to what I'm being shown, what's being, you know, what's going on, and, you know, I'll see, understand a bit more, to be honest. But as it's only a trial, it's not the main game, so it's nothing really to focus on. But yeah, I say it is fun, and I haven't done too much. I done some questing, sort of went here, there, and everywhere to try and so I know the area of the map and the city we're in. And so there's not much to understand, basically. Excuse me. Yeah, but as I say, I did the gold quests, went here, there, and everywhere, did bits and pieces, sort of understanding bits as I went. But I also went out into the world, the actual world, and killed some monsters for some quests. I think I died once, which I thought I'd try and have a go at this monster, and basically it was too strong for me. But it's literally a lot of fun. I mean, more stuff happens as you level up. I'm at level 3 or 4 at the moment. But I mean, I had like one quest. It was like kill 4 of those, 4 of those, and something of those. And I've done bits and pieces here and there for each of the character for each of the quests. But yeah, it's really a lot of fun, and I am looking forward to getting into it sometime next year once I've, you know, got this backlog of stuff. I mean, I've given up on Dragon Age. I haven't played Grand Theft Auto since I got this one, because I've been playing Final Fantasy XIV or Pokemon or Geometry Wars. But once my trial's over, I'll be literally back on Grand Theft Auto to sort of knock out the story, get that over and done with. Maybe try some stuff online. I mean, I'm waiting for the heist stuff, to be honest, before that, you know, we get that, but you know, give me the heists and I'll play some online stuff, but I do really want to just knock out the story again, you know, do best as I can and, you know, have fun with it, really. But yeah, I say Final Fantasy XIV, I am looking forward to getting into it once it's, you know, playing a bit more on the trial, just sort of doing bits and pieces here and there. I say the thing is, it's weird because I don't really want to do too much in the game, but I do want to do enough to keep me satisfied. But I don't really, you know, I don't really want to do too much because I know that when I do get the main game, like the proper thing, I will be doing the whole stuff over again. And I've played so many, you know, I think about Destiny now. It's like, I played the alpha, I played the beta. I did the same shit like twice. And when I came to the main one, it was like, yeah, I'm not as interested in this game as I was anymore because I've already done half the shit already. Which is probably the downside to being in the alpha and the beta, which, you know, I don't know. But yeah, so it's a lot of fun. Really good, and you know it's fun, basically. I can't really say more than that. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing. But yeah, I say we'll get into the game of the year stuff now, because this is the game of the year special. And basically I'll start off with the listeners, basically, who joined the Facebook group. I say, you know, there's many ways if you lot can get in contact with me and the show. Basically, email the show is antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You can follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. Also, you can like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also, as the main reason, we had the topic for this week, which is the Game of the Year show. You go to facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. There's always a couple of topics posting around every now and again, as soon as I think of something interesting to talk about. But I'd say this week I did ask, past couple of weeks I did ask, what was your Game of the Year for this year, and what are you looking forward to next year? And we did have quite a few responses in the older group. One second. Let me just call it up. There we go. And JJ from 360 on 420. Basically, his sort of Game of the Year was like Destiny or Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, which I am so tempted to get Advanced Warfare now. I mean, mate's got it. He's probably going to lend it to me if I nag him enough. But yeah, I say, but JJ is looking for his... what he's looking for is, next year is Evolve, which I'm interested in. I don't think I'll get it, but I do want to see... I don't like watching people play videos and stuff like that on, games on YouTube and stuff like that. But, I have been doing some research for Final Fantasy, so I have been sort of doing that a bit. But, I do want to see some videos of Evolve and people playing it on Twitch and stuff like that. But also The Division, which is something I'm looking forward to as well, which... hopefully comes out next year. I hope that it's not going to get delayed or some bullshit like that. But Matty as well, he's looking forward to The Division. And basically Kevin as well, he got in this from Kevin from Alcohol by Volume. Basically his Game of the Year was Dragon Age Inquisition. I mean, he's playing on the PC, so he's probably having a lot more fun with it than I am, to be honest. But yeah, he's looking forward to stuff like the second half of Broken Age, Dreamfall Chapters next year, and Kingdom Hearts 3 in 2016, probably. But yeah, I say, those are the people that posted in the old... I'm laughing because there's a whole bunch of banter going on between the posts, apart from the main stuff. But yeah, I say, so much good stuff this year that we've, seen, and it's come and it's gone. And I say, it was a bit weird because, this morning I'm sort of looking through my list of stuff that I played. I turned on my Xbox for the first time in whenever. My Xbox Live has run out, so I'm not really that bothered about renewing that, so that'll just sit by the way. So I probably could have sort of left that about a year or so ago, and it wouldn't have had still been going on now. Excuse me. But yeah, I turned on, had a look at my stuff of playing. There's loads of games I've been playing this year. Jurassic World 3, which I talked about earlier, Final Fantasy 14, Grand Theft Auto 5, the PlayStation 4 version. Star Fox on the 3DS, Mario Kart 7, Injustice Gods Among Us, SteamWorld Dig, Destiny, Metro Redux, MLB 24, MLB 14 The Show, Strider, Watch Dogs, Trials, Fusion, Flow, Pokemon Y, and Pokemon, Onorus, Far Cry 4, Dragon Age Inquisition. There's a whole bunch of stuff as well, like on the iPod that I've been playing. I went back into BioWasis, I did some Tetris, basically Tetris bullshit. But yeah, there's so much stuff, and it's been a really good year for stuff to play. Even though, I'll get into it in a sec, but it was hard to pick stuff for the Game of the Year because even though I've enjoyed what I've played, none of it has really blown me away as such as an enjoyment value. I hoped with Destiny, Destiny was great. Destiny was really good, and then it sort of fucked me over a bit because you lot remember me talking about the fact that I could only have one piece of, one piece of erotic armor on me at once. No, the exotic armor, I can only have one at a time, which is a bit of a bastard. And then to get to level 30, I had to do a raid, which didn't have matchmaking. I don't think it still does. I haven't really paid too much attention to anything that's Destiny or Bungie related that I've seen in the news anyway when it comes to the, matchmaking stuff. But yeah, I say, most of the people I play Destiny with, they've pretty much dropped it. There's a couple of people I know that still play it, but I'm not that fussed at the moment. I'll probably just sell it sometime next year. But yeah, I say Destiny had a great premise to be something awesome. And it still does. It's just there's a lack of story and there's a lack of matchmaking. And, matchmaking is very important when it comes to games these days. Yes, we can do matchmaking with our friends, but when our friends are not available, what the fuck are we going to do? It's like having, PC games with SimCity, it's a single-player game, but having it online only. It's that sort of, mistake that was made. But yeah, I say, this has been a good year. This year I got my PlayStation 4. The year I stopped playing my PlayStation 3. no, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's gone on this year with gaming. It's really good. I mean, I went to Nationals for Pokemon, which is great. I mean, I'm looking forward to going to next year. It has been a really good year for me this year, to be honest. You know, ups and downs here and there. You know, I went to America again and done bits and pieces and, you know, flying out there again in a few more months as, you know, people are annoyed the shit out of me keep going on about it. But yeah, I say I've had tons of fun with what I've been playing, even though none of it's really done anything for me. I mean, I was just looking at stuff now. I mean, Trials Fusion, I had big hopes for that. I mean, I watched... it's so long since I watched their videos, I can't remember what the fucking name of the group was. But yeah, there's a group I watched videos that did Trials Fusion. I mean, I played that for a good little bit. Got to where as far as I usually can with that sort of game, and then just stopped, and I haven't been back to it since, and probably won't. Far Cry 4 was great. I had lots of fun with that. You know, I mean, to be honest, it was, as I've seen lots of people say, it was basically Far Cry 3.5. And that's good. It's just the story was different, and that was nice. But it was pretty much the same shit that we'd done before, and I didn't mind. I mean, I enjoyed the hunting. I enjoyed the base capturing. I mean, anything game that lets me just sort of be, you know, silent and sneaky and run around and, you know, do bits and pieces, I'm happy with. I mean, I do love a bit of you know, sort of sneaking around, running around, being quiet. That sort of stuff. That's what I love doing with sort of games. It's weird how many games I'm just sort of looking at now. Games that I've played before, which I get to play again. Star Fox 64. excuse me. Pretty much the same stuff, rinse and repeat. Star Fox 64, Far Cry 4, Pokemon. I picked up Flow again. I'm playing that. Trials Fusion, same as pretty much any other Trials. Sort of leaving out my Game of the Year choice there, for I can talk about that in a second. But yeah, I mean, other stuff that didn't quite do it for me this year, Dragon Age Inquisition, even though I had high hopes when I bought it, I'm like, this is going to be great, this is going to be fun, and it didn't fit. I mean, it's weird how amazing the game looks, like the world looked amazing. I mean, I had fun taking that and that big, great, big dragon, it was amazing. But yeah, the characters' models look shit, and it looked very old, very last-gen-ish. I don't know. I mean, I sort of wonder that with the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, are the character models up to spec on what they should be with the new technology that we have? Probably not. It was one of those things. It would take some time since PlayStation 4, Xbox One. It's been out for a year. Pretty much a year basically now, and we've still got a couple of years to go before it sort of gets into its stride on how it all should be looking and how you should expect it to look. Even if, a couple of years, if it even gets to that level. But we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I mean, I played Grand Theft Auto 5 again, having tons of fun with it when I do get to play it. Just trying to think what else I've got on my list here. Oh yeah, Injustice Gods Among Us. I knocked that out again, and it's fun to have access to this. And basically, I got it for free, which is a great thing, which basically means I get all that DLC, which I didn't have to pay for. Which is great. I mean, I did actually get to mess around with Scorpion, fighting Batman and Superman stuff. Lots and lots of fun. And yeah, it's been a really, really good year for what I've played and, all that online fun. So basically, SteamWorld Dig, that's really good, sort of Dig Dug, but modern and new and, fun. And I got that for free as well. I mean, I say with your Xbox Live and your PlayStation Plus, the free game stuff that you get, it's always worth downloading, because even if you don't play it, download it. There's always something there when you're bored, there's nothing else to play, and it is worth picking up the play, because you don't play it now, you play it later. It's basically time for me to announce my Game of the Year, which is Metro Redux. I say it's been a big year for me with the Metro game, Metro Last Light, Metro 2033, because I did actually get round to finishing the Metro 2033 book, which was an amazing read, and I do recommend everyone to pick it up. But yeah, I say Metro Redux, it's one of those games that I've played through, not this version, but the previous, Metro Last Light and Metro, when they were sold separately. I played through them dozens of times, and I fell in love with the story, the world, the characters. It's just a really good game. I mean, I'm going to, next couple of days I'm off, I'm going to play through it again. It's just an amazing game. And it's one of those ones I say, because I do love a bit of sneaky and stealthy action. I will, sneakily stealth through certain areas full of enemies with a silenced pistol or whatever the fuck it was I was using, like a revolver or something. Yeah, silenced revolver. And sort of take out as many enemies as I can without being caught, set off the alarms. And yeah, Metro Redux, a really good game, and I recommend everyone to pick it up because basically it's two games in one. But yeah, I played this game a couple of years ago. So it makes me ashamed that, you know, if I had started the show, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, you know, it probably would have been a game of the year, you know, when 2033 and Last Light came out both years, would have been games of the year. But now that it came out in one package, it's my game of the year for this year. And I say it is a really fun game, and I fell in love with the whole world and what you can do in the story. That's what I like about this PlayStation 4. It's like the screenshot aspect is so much fun. It's one of the best things I've done this year, sort of screenshotting games and taking pictures. I mean, people loved my... I did like a screenshot of... what the fuck was it? Final Fantasy 14. It was like my character... It was like a selfie, to be honest. It was sort of me standing in front of a Christmas tree, with my character's name. It was just really fun. And I was just sort of like doing it. And I did a few with the Metro Redux as well, which is, you know, quite fun. I did some sort of, there was like crash planes and stuff like that. So I did some sort of airplane references. I had a lot of fun with it. And when I play this again, there'll be more screenshots will be taken and fun had. But yeah, I say Metro Redux, it's my game of the year. And I say, because I know there's other stuff that I should have picked. I didn't pick Grand Theft Auto 5 last year. I chose Assassin's Creed. But yeah, say Assassin's Creed this year I played, and it just didn't do anything for me. This one was my last one, but I'll say with it being next one being setting in Victorian London, I'm gonna have to give that a go just for the, you know, I was gonna say patriot in me, but I'm not fucking patriot at all. But yeah, I'd have to give it a go to see what it's gonna be like and how bad the Americans doing English accents will be. But we'll wait and see. But yeah, I say, you know, stuff like that. I didn't choose Grand Theft Auto 5. I mean, I actually was tempted to make Final Fantasy 14 my game of the year, even though I'm like 5 days into a 2-week trial, and 3 of those days I couldn't access the PlayStation because it was down because of the hackers. But I mean, there's other stuff, you know, SteamWorld Dig, which was a close second or third at least on my list of games for game of the year. SteamWorld Dig is a really good game, and if you missed out when it was free, pick it up now. It's worth buying anyway. Show the developers some love. But yeah, very repetitive. I've got that to finish off again. I'm like halfway through my second playthrough of SteamWorld Dig. I started Watch Dogs. That was really good. I mean, well, I was probably one of excuse me. Sorry, still getting over this cold and cough. Yeah, Watch Dogs probably one of the best stories I've played this year so far. I just think of it, I know I did like Tomb Raider this year, but I mean, I did Tomb Raider last year. But yeah, Watch Dogs really good. The whole aspect for it is very high up on my list. I mean, I know JJ hates the game because he had problems with it. His problems, whatever. But yeah, I say it was a very fun game, and there's tons of open world stuff to do, and I basically did as much of the stuff as I could. And yeah, the story, very good, very hard-hitting, very dramatic. And that grenade launcher is amazing, which I loved using to blow up convoys and, you know, people and all sorts of shit. It was really fun. What else? Pokemon, a big year for Pokemon for me this year. I mean, I filled up the... I completed the National Dex like twice, both in Y and in Omega Ruby, which is what I'm up to now. I spent the past, since last October when we got Pokemon Y and X and Y came out, I spent the whole year breeding with my 6 IV Ditto, trying to get, you know, perfect 5 IV, perfect 5 IVs and a couple of flawless 6 IVs of basically every fully evolved Pokemon. Which I did, and I'm quite proud of. I've got a load of hidden abilities and bits and pieces here and there, some shinies. And I say Pokemon has been a big thing for me this year. Just sort of doing basically what I've always dreamed of doing, having a basic whole army of battle-ready Pokemon. at my command. And, you know, I'm looking for, I say, even though I say next year I've got nationals, I'm not that fussed about the actual tournament itself. I'll make up a team and do some bits and pieces and breeding or whatever. But I'm more interested in, having... I'm just sort of more interested in having... I'm sort of more interested in basically what happens after the tournament. I mean, like, this year we all sat down and basically I left my game in the... I'm just sort of more interested in hanging around with my friends and just battling for the fun of it more than actually competing in a tournament, which I probably won't win anyway. But hopefully if I can get a good team together, I'll see what it's like. Roy Black on Crack says, I'm more interested in the worst game of the year. Which, I don't know. I mean, everyone's harping on Destiny because it wasn't what it's supposed to be. Even though it was a good game and very fun and literally, people are hating it now. We all went nuts for it. When it, I mean, I don't hate it. People went nuts for it when it came out. I went nuts for it. I was playing it nonstop. I was trying to get my character up, doing bits and pieces, having lots of fun doing bits. But I say it just sort of fizzled out because of there wasn't enough content, and the content that was given to us wasn't thought out well enough for us to, you know, do something good enough with. I don't know. I think last year, I think my worst game was like BioShock Infinite, even though people love that game. But I don't know. I don't know what the worst game this year that I've played is. It was... I don't know. I'm looking at my list now, the stuff that I have played, and nothing's really popping up as really bad. It's just stuff that I played. I mean, Astrider, really good game. I think I got to a certain place with it and then just stopped. Probably never going to go back to it, but it's not much of a worry to me. If I wanted to, I would have done it already. Just nothing that's really... Well, there's just nothing that's really, I would say, is the worst. Everything's been pretty much average at best, and above that for everything else. There's nothing really that's sort of blown my socks off, to be honest. I had lots of fun with the Final Fantasy XIV trial, which is still going on. I've got like a week and a bit to go. But apart from that, there's nothing that's really done it for me this year. I mean, Metro Redux... was my game of the year because it's the one I've had most fun on, and it's something I've played before, and I'm glad to play it again with sort of better graphics and that screenshot function for the PlayStation. But there isn't really... That's why it was tricky to pick stuff this year, because there's nothing that's been really... that's done anything for me. Even the stuff that I thought would do it for me, Dragon Age, Far Cry 4, Trials Fusion... Watch Dogs. None of it did what I was expecting it to do, really. I mean, hopefully in 2015 we'll get it, you know, with some decent stuff. Because, I mean, where is it? Let's just call up this article. Yeah, I mean, say with 2015, we got Batman coming out. One second. Here we go, yeah. Batman and... just trying to think what else. I'm going to draw on a blank now. The new Assassin's Creed, whatever Call of Duty. This year it's been just sequel after sequel after sequel, even more so than that we need, to be honest. Excuse me. But I'm just looking at this list of stuff that's supposed to be coming out for next year. We've got Quantum Break, which I'm not that fussed about. I know there's a lot of buzz going around now for Quantum Break, but I really have nothing for this game. It's not that I don't care. It's just, stuff happening, but it's just not really something on my radar at the moment, because I've seen so much of this over the past year or so that we're still waiting on this game to come out. It's Xbox One exclusive, but I don't know. I mean, I'm interested in getting a Wii U next year. I want the price to go down a bit more, though. I mean, I don't mind paying what I'm paying, what the price is, but... it's a Nintendo console. It's not, I don't know. It's one of those things, I mean, they say, games aren't toys, but I don't know. I want something better, to be honest. Shadow Realms I've got here, which is from BioWare. Says this article from, what the fuck is this? Den of Geek. Don't know much about it, but a bunch of stuff on it, but we'll see. Hellraid. What else they got? Battleborn. I don't know. Old Mad Max game, which I've seen bits and pieces on. That looks interesting. I guess I'm more interested in the Mad Max game than the actual Mad Max movie. But even the Mad Max game doesn't really keep me too well invested in this thing. But I don't know. We'll have to see. What else we got? Let It Die. It's the free to play slash and other stuff I don't know. Oh, yeah, Mortal Kombat 10. That's coming out. Anything to say about release date? No, nothing yet. That's a shame. But yeah, I say Mortal Kombat is one of my things I'm looking forward to next year. I mean, that trailer we got, the gameplay trailer, the game looks amazing. I need to get a second controller so that way I can have my sister come around, we can sort of beat the shit out of each other, and then we can go and play Mortal Kombat. But yeah, I say Mortal Kombat is one of those big things for next year. Final Fantasy V, I'm trying to read Roman numerals. Final Fantasy 15, which I'm looking forward to as well. It's one of my things that I'm looking forward to. Obviously, it's weird with Final Fantasy 15 because I'm so interested in Final Fantasy 14 right now that I might just wait for a bit and see what the reviews are like for 15 before I start playing anything else. Order 1886, that's coming out. I'm not that fussed about that one either, even though it does look pretty sweet. But we'll wait and see. I mean, if I do get a Wii U, this one, Xenoblade Chronicles X, I've seen a lot of this stuff going on, and it will be something that I do pick up if I do get myself a Wii U. But, Rainbow Six Siege, which I thought that was cancelled. But yeah, so Rainbow Six is always good. Oh, here we are. Star Wars Battlefront. I'm getting tongue-tied. One sec. Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront. We're still a year away. I mean, we're like a year away from the new Star Wars movie. We're still a year away from this game. But, wait for it to be delayed, I think. Mm. I mean, this game is going to be really good. All first person, Star Wars, first person shooter. Hopefully first person Jedi combat would be nice. Piloting all the vehicles. This game is going to be awesome. It really is. But as I said, we're a year away from it. Okay, what else is on this list? Let's have a look. Just wait for the next page to load. Be nice. Okay, what's sick? Dead Island 2, which we kind of got. Dying Light's next couple of weeks, which I'm looking forward to. If you plan on getting Dying Light, you have no interest in getting Dead Island 2 because it's the same game, sort of. But Dead Island the first one was great. I loved it. I loved it very much. But we'll wait and see. Legend of Zelda for the Wii U. There's like a list of about 7 or 8Wii U games that I do want to get. If I do get a Wii U, Legend of Zelda, Star Fox, Xenoblade Chronicles X, couple of Mario ones, Mario Kart 8. There's a decent amount of games that are out there now. It basically just took a long while for the games to come out before for the system was ready. So if I do get it, it'll probably be some sort of Zelda-y bundle, and I'll have fun with that. Division, which is, I know Matty and me are looking forward to playing together when he does get himself a PlayStation 4 sometime in the near future. Division, I can't wait. This game looks amazing, and it's going to have so much fun with it. I mean, I'm looking forward to the MMO aspect, but I'm sort of, I'm trying to keep two MMOs on the go at once. But when I do eventually get to Final Fantasy 14, we'll wait and see. But Division, we need more trailers for this or more information. And I don't know. So that's the thing. I mean, where we are now, because I've got news. I've got plenty of news topics, like stuff I missed out from last year, but. Last week. But I mean, this literally, because it's the Christmas, New Year's season, everyone's basically off. So basically, I've got very little limited stuff, but I'm keep going on anyway. Star Citizen, a great game, which I wish I had a PC that would run this sort of shit, because this game looks fucking amazing. It really does. It's like this one, I think it's Elite Dangerous, which is another sort of sci-fi space PC shooter. Both look amazing, and they make me wish that I had. I mean, I could save up the money to afford a decent PC rig with cards and bullshit and stuff like that. but it would mean I have to sacrifice going to America for the rest of my life, trying to afford this shit. But yeah, I say Star Citizen, a really good looking game, which makes me want to play. It really does. Because I mean, I'm a big fan of the sci-fi shooters, you know, piloting stuff. I mean, I watched like a couple of videos of, you know, the original X-Wing and TIE Fighter games the other day, and I was like, yeah, I miss playing those sort of games. You know, I mean, as I think, oh God, that was called, I don't know, there's some decent sort of first-person shooter flying games that I've played that I wish I, you know, we still had today, but maybe with what we're going to get with, Star Citizen and, the Star Wars Battlefront when that comes out, it might spark other people up into making some new games. This eighth on this list is Evolve, which I say JJ's fucking got a boner for, like you wouldn't believe. Yeah, I'm interested in it as well. I mean, I say I want to watch some, like, you know, some more footage on it, but yeah, it's going to be good. Halo 5 Guardians, not even on my list. I mean, I've never been a Halo fan, even though I played most of the games, which, you know, there's more games of Halo come out, that me saying I played most of the games is going to mean less, because literally I think I'm down to, what, 4 out of the, I don't know, 7-8 games that we've got from Halo now. So I'm pretty much half and half on what I have played and what I haven't played. But yeah, I say, you know, what's this, number 6 is Uncharted 4, which I can't wait. I mean, I need some more Nathan Drake, because this game, the game series is one of my favourites. It's basically one of the things that got me actually picking up a PlayStation. I mean, I know with Mass Effect, that's what got me buying an Xbox, but Uncharted is what got me buying a PlayStation 3 and, you know, and a PlayStation 4 now for Uncharted. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing if this is going to be the fight. Oh, it is good. As it just says here, I'll read what I'm reading here. It says, although Naughty Dog may have overshadowed its brilliant Uncharted series with The Last of Us, which was an awesome game, by the way, Nathan Drake's final adventure is going to be a massive hit nonetheless. In fact, if the team incorporates the best elements from both series into Uncharted 4, along with new tricks allowed by the PlayStation 4's hardware, we would have the studio's best game yet. As with a few titles on this list, we're not seeing much about the game so far, save from the CG teaser, but there's no need to justify its appearance here. The previous Uncharted games have been superb, amongst the best on the PlayStation 3, and Naughty Dog has a proven track record, leaving little doubt about the quality of this upcoming PlayStation 4 exclusive. And yeah, Uncharted, I mean, we got that recent trailer of the gameplay footage with Nate's brother, which is interesting how he fits into all of this and what's going on. And I hope they don't do something stupid like fucking kill off Nathan at the end, or I don't know. I can see something bad happen, like an accident, gets paralyzed or some stupid shit like that. But I want to play this game. I really do. And, you know, tons of fun will be had with it. Number 5 on this list is Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, which has been teased for about a year and a half now. We've got like gameplay footage. It's tons of gameplay footage. Most of the stuff's the same old shit. It's basically, you do these parachutes with take stuff up into the air. You could build your own base, a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, this game doesn't come out for at least another year anyway. It's like the end of 2015, but I mean, you know, we got that PT teaser with Silent Hills, which, oh God, that game's scary and fun. yeah, I say Ground Zeroes is something that I don't know, I'm still on the fence about whether I should bother picking up, because it's still a decent price, but I'm sort of hoping if I do hold out long enough, come, you know, I think it's October or November next year, when we do get Phantom Pain, they might just chuck it up on PlayStation Network as a free-to-play, as a free-to-play thing, I'm thinking, I'm hoping, would be nice, that way I don't have to pay for the bloody thing. I mean, I don't really need much to fill in the story anyway, I just want to sort of get into this game, play it, and be done with it, to be honest. It's one of those ones I sort of want to just finish and play and get done with it, because I'm not a fan of Kiefer Sutherland as the voice of Big Boss, even though we've had David Hayter voice Big Boss and Solid Snake for the previous games. Now we have Kiefer Sutherland, who's, I don't know, a waste of time, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things I'm looking forward to. Number 4 they got here is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Yeah, I played 5 minutes of The Witcher 2. Didn't really do anything for me, otherwise I would have played more of it. But this game looks okay. It could be fun. We'll have to wait and see. What else have we got on this list? Number two, Bloodborne, which is the Dark Souls successor. Yeah, I say this could be interesting as well. I'm sort of looking forward to this one as well. I don't want to. I'm sort of. I don't know. I'm waiting for reviews, and I want to say I want to redo a lot of reviews on this one because I want to pick it up, but I don't really want to have the same aspect, the same thing happen to me that I had with the Dark Souls games, where I play a little bit of it and then just sort of, you know, not do anything with it, then just stop and then just sell the game because I just couldn't be asked to invest the time. But I say, with what's coming out next year and the fact that, you know, I am Final Fantasy 14 probably take up a lot of my time, I want to make sure I get enough time management skills in that I can, you know, mess around and, you know, do stuff with the game, really. Here we go. Number two, Batman Arkham Knight. I'm sort of wondering now which number one is. I can't wait for this game. Even though some of it has me a little bit worried about how it's going to play. But to be honest though, Kevin Conroy as the voice of Batman, you can't go better than that. But yeah, I say this game is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to finding out who the actual Arkham Knight is. I'm guessing it must be Tommy Elliot. That's what I'm guessing. But I've got some weird bullshit vibe that probably put the Joker as the Arkham Knight. They sort of bring him back for some stupid ass reason. I mean, you know, because Mark Hamill's not going to be, you know, Joker anymore. But you know, Troy Baker did a fucking good job last year with Arkham Origins. That was a really good game. But yeah, I say, just sort of looking at this now, it's just, it's going to be so good. Really, really, really good. Yeah, it's the last of the Rocksteady series for Batman games. And basically, it's one of the few Batman series that, you know, where the games have been really good. Whereas, you know, you look at all the pretty much other Batman games. I know I did a little topic on this a few weeks ago. And yeah, most of them have been pretty shit. But, you know, the Batman Arkham series have been really good. Even Arkham Origins, which many people didn't like, but you know, we'll wait and see. Number one is this is No Man's Sky. I'll read what's written here because it makes it easier for me to get into. Well, there's a lot of stuff on this one. Okay, let's have a, all right. Many say, oh, one sec, sorry, there we go. Yeah, many say that it stole E3, and No Man's Sky certainly steals this list. Despite Star Citizen's strong showing, it's still far more excited. I'm still more excited about No Man's Sky. The sheer scale and ambition of the project is just mind-boggling. Mind-numbing. And the change in direction in terms of gameplay should make this make for a refreshing MMO. Even its developer, Hello Games, isn't branding it as such. Spanning an entirely procedural generated universe, including planets, space stations, fleets, and more. It's a huge undertaking that will allow players to explore entire planets, very, very, very large planets and galaxies. Players will be able to travel onto the surface on foot and then hop into your ship and seamlessly fly through the skies and up into space, moving on to the next destination whenever you want to be. That's what the whole plan was for the Star Wars Battlefront game, but when we get gameplay footage of Star Wars Battlefront, probably E3 and Tokyo Game Show next year, we'll see what we can do. But yeah, No Man's Sky, I am interested in this game. I don't really haven't seen too much footage of it, to be honest. I've seen, you know, trailers here and there, but nothing that's really I've seen gameplay, but I want story. I want context to what we're doing. But this game does actually interest me. It's sort of in the back burner. I literally, it's on the recesses of my mind, trying to, you know, sit there while I get all the other stuff out of the way, that, you know, the Mortal Kombat, your Batman, get that out of the way first, and then sort of bring this one up as something that will, you know, keep me interested in doing stuff for the next, you know, whenever, how long I get through this game before I get bored. But I'll carry on reading. There's going to be trading, combat, space combat, first person on foot, and you'll be able to meet and interact with, other players. However, as the universe is so massive, Hello Games has stated it's going to be very rare you'll encounter other people, if at all. I can imagine people doing that with, you know, the way internet is these days. It will say, well, let's go to this planet and meet this location. If you do the old, I was going to say noughts and crosses, but it's not. It's the coordinate stuff. They'll be able to find people anyway if that's a feature. A great feature of the game will be tagging planets and geography. When found for the first time by a player, plants and locations of plants will be named and tagged as being discovered by that person. Oh, that's cool. This will be shown to others stumbling upon it. Oh, well, we need to make a more like radio planet. That'd be sweet. So vast is the world, though others may never discover these locations, making you the only player in the game to see certain sites. Yeah, exclusive to PlayStation 4 at first, and then arriving on PC. No Man's Sky tops the list at most anticipated game of 2015. Of course, this list is merely based on my opinion, and it won't be to everyone's taste. Blah 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 blah. Bullshit. Yeah, I'm gonna say my thing I'm looking forward to 2015 is pretty much everything, really. I want something to grab me. I know Punchy takes a piss out of me all the time when I say that. I want something to do something for me. I'll play something that will keep me memorable. I mean, say, game of the year this year was Metro Redux, a game that came out several years ago as Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light. And today, with the HD remastered version, it's my game of the year. I want something like that. I want something that I could look back on, look back through years of playing and say, yep, this was my game of the year. This was something that I played and I was proud to play it. Something that I wanted to play. I mean, next year, you know, the stuff I'm thinking now, that we've got Batman, we've got, Final Fantasy 14 when I do get into it. Half the stuff I've listed, and just sort of think about bits and pieces, like, maybe Assassin's Creed might be good, might we get a comeback with that? Maybe it was something worth playing, maybe it was something that we should be actually giving a shit about. I don't know, maybe. But yeah, there's just so much stuff, and so much stuff that we don't know about that's going to be coming out next year. How will Call of Duty fare next year? Will it be like this year? It's too early to tell, but come GDC and PAX and all this sort of conference stuff that we'll get. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve. What a dumbass. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve, and you know, January, March. February, somewhere between that. A couple of months will go, we'll have the live events. A couple of months after that, we'll have, all the events for the games, convention calendar. It's just so much stuff that's going to happen next year, and it'll fly by. But you'll want to sort of, play as many games that are going to be good as you can possibly get your hands on. Just so much stuff this year. I've played, it's been really good, and next year I'm hoping it's going to be even better, and I'll find something that will grab me and do something for me, and have tons of fun playing. I'd say that pretty much brings the game of the year topic to a close. Pretty much time for me to take a break in a second, but I say coming up after the break I have tons of news stuff to talk about. I say, literally, I've got bits and pieces here and there. There's a topic in there as well, which if I can get past all the new stuff, then I'll get into that. Just so much to get into. And I've literally, got to get into it once I finish this break. So I'll see you in about 10 minutes. Get yourself a drink, something to eat, and I'll be back in a few minutes. Take care.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
More like radio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all gonna be on fucking podcast. Oh boy.
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use us to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home,
Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Now, deep beat. Cause the V is so deep, an interesting show, it won't ever put you to sleep. It has all the content that you want, the best show on the planet. I ain't even gonna front. Deep V, bringing it again and again. Don't ever miss a show and make sure that you're always tuned in. Hosted by my man Mike and Ski Ray. Keep it turned up on the mic all day. Ask me what's my favorite podcast, I say Deep V. Listen to the show while you're sipping on your tea. It's the hottest of the high. You ain't gotta trust me. Tune into the show and you will definitely see. With Mike and Ski Ray, you can't go wrong. The biggest show ever, bigger than a King Kong. Listen up and don't ever, ever miss a beat. It's Deep V. Remember that the V is so deep.
What's up, everybody? Deep V Podcast.
Deep V.
Be sure to listen to us Fridays at 8 Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
Yep.
Also download us on iTunes.
Just type in Deep V.
Deep V, your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
You know, at the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
What are you going for here?
We'll name check every country on the show, that way no one can be mad about that.
I could do Swedish.
Oh, yeah, what?
Birdie.
And to the Italians?
Papa the Poopy.
Papa the Poopy. Okay.
To the Mexicans?
Hey, man.
Spain? Singapore?
Oh.
Amazing.
Australians?
Crocodile Dundalk. No. A big loop, are you?
No, that sounds like Limerick or something.
That's right, we never slag off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could.
I took the turkey baster after lubricating it in my asshole and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe.
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for Lust, Betrayal, and Murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back, ladies and gents, to the second part of Antisocial Gaming Radio. As you heard before the break, it is the Game of the Year special, and I talked about the Game of the Year. And basically, now I'll talk about the news. No, it's basically, you know, it's weird. I'm not unhappy with, you know, what was Game of the Year. I mean, I loved it. You know, it's a great game. It's my Game of the Year. But, I don't know, next year, I think everyone needs to step up their game a bit and... give us something better. Give us something that's not sequel-based, really. But as it's the news, I have this article, which is very interesting, to be honest. Patrice Didsetz is making a third-person historical action survival game. And yes, you know the name. He's the Assassin's Creed 1 and 2's creative director, who basically left Ubisoft and has now announced that the debut title at Panache... Digital Games, the Montreal-based studio he recently founded with Assassin's Creed producer Jean-Francois Boivin, will be a third-person historical action survival game. Didsetz was mum about on the details in his cryptic announcement, but he noted that it will be a AAA title and that he's a huge fan of big-budget blockbusters. AAA games, I believe in them, he says. I believe wholeheartedly that this medium we call video games can be a positive force for change in our society, and the AAA quality gaming experience have unmatched strength to achieve this. For you, dear friends, I've always had an underlying ambition in my work to move to the world of games. It is with this motivation that I designed Assassin's Creed. I believe that.
I believe that somehow I succeeded in my mission. This gives me great motivation, ambition, and heart to continue the adventure. Was unceremoniously fired from Ubisoft, where he's currently involved in a legal battle with the publisher over the game he'd developed there, codenamed 1666. He started at the now defunct THQ Montreal. Based on his work with Assassin's Creed, certainly knows his way around a historical setting. Where and when would you, just bullshit. But yeah, I say he's making basically the same game that he basically created. So, I mean, it could be good. I mean, Charles, I don't really mean to knock it. But considering how basically Assassin's Creed games have gone since his, departure, we've got, Assassin's Creed Rogue and Unity. Maybe what he's going to give us now would be something good, really. Action survival game, so that could be interesting. It's pretty much going to be an Assassin's Creed style game, but minus the assassins. But I don't know. It's going to be fun. I mean, if he's on board and he's got some decent people with him and some money backing behind him, and he wants to make a AAA game, so this could be something really good and really fun and really interesting, hopefully. But, well, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I am looking forward to this, but time will tell, and we'll see what we get when he does make it. Let's have a look what else we've got. It's hard to find stuff, because literally there's so much stuff that's come out, and, this one's sort of disappointing, because, I mean, I use a lot of their stuff for their... CVG to close. Computer and videogames.com, the website of the long-running CVG brand, will close. Publisher Future has announced. It's weird for this. It really is. It's terrible. Computer and Video Games began life in 1981. It's a magazine with the brand existing in the form on and off since then. According to MCV, in February 2015, Future will add some... exciting CVG content to Games Radar, which already includes SFX and Total Film. Scratching me bloody eye. There we go. Declan Goh, head of content and marketing of Future Games, Music and Film, said the online audience of Edge, official PlayStation, Total Xbox, and CVG will all be folded into Games Radar. Currently, Games Radar has tabs for movies, TV, reflecting Total Film and SFX. It's a sad end then for the world's oldest video game media brand. Our very own Richard Ledbetter, who runs Digital Foundry, works for CVG back in the day, as did Julian Rignall, who is now in charge of the Gamer Network's US Gamer. Future said the new Games Radar is hiring, but CVG's former editor said none of the existing staff will be switching to work for the sites. That's not surprised. We wish all the affected by CVG closure the best of luck in the future. UK games media and former staff reacted to the news excuse me, with sadness. Here's a roundup of the tweets. I'm not gonna read all this bullshit. It's just sad that, back when I was a scrawny little lad, I go down the paper shop. I would read CVG all the time, that and Nintendo magazine and game copies of Games Master. It was one of the few magazines I actually read. Did the paper round, so I got to read them for free. But it's such a sad thing. This is one that I've been reading for years and used their website for most of my news articles that since I've started doing the show, and now they're closing. I have to go to Games Radar now, which I do use, but it's weird. I mean, Games Radar is good. I do like some of their articles they publish, but it's called Games Radar. It should be about games, but now you're adding film and all this sort of bullshit to it. Just make up a new thing that incorporates it all, but just leave Games Radar to be games. I mean, I look at stuff on Games Radar and it's just, okay, this is filmy stuff. What's this got to do with games? It's, you know, it's just terrible. But yeah, I say it's a really sad thing that CVG is closing, and, you know, say, you know, good luck with everyone. Hopefully they get, you know, they land on their feet and find jobs and stuff. But I'm just, the way the games industry is going, I mean, to be honest, I'm a living proof, you don't need to be paid to basically just talk about games. You know, I'm not getting paid for this. I'm just, you know, talking out my arse and doing it for 2 hours every week for the past 2-3 years. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of, journalism is a dying medium anyway. You know, it's weird stuff anyway. Okay, here we go. Yeah, this is from Eurogamer as well. Capcom warns of Marvel vs. Capcom Origins delisting on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live. Fighting game Marvel vs. Capcom leaves PlayStation Network and Xbox Live soon. Publisher Capcom has warned. The game will be delisted from PlayStation Network and Xbox Live this month. Capcom's fighting game community chief Peter Rosas revealed on Capcom Unity. Why do they got to put some bullshit new fucking nickname in there in amongst his name? Just tell us his fucking name, Jesus Christ. MVCO leaves the stores on the following dates. Look at this one. So it's basically down by now on the PlayStation Network for US and Europe. It left basically about a week ago, and the last day for the Xbox Live is tomorrow, basically. So, you know, pick it up now before it gets delisted and you'll never play it again. But I mean, I've got Marvel vs. Capcom 2 on my Xbox anyway, so I'm good. but yeah, so Marvel vs. Capcom Origins bundles together 90s fighting games, Marvel Super Heroes and Marvel vs. Capcom Clash of Heroes, complete with a HD lick of paint. Both games feature GGPO, enhanced online play, with 8-player lobbies, spectator mode, in-game achievements, and replay savings. Currently the game is $11.99 on PlayStation Network and $9.99 on Xbox Live. Basically you got like 30 seconds pretty much. No, but you got about a day for Xbox Live users. But yeah, it's you know, a good game, I was told. I mean, I was more interested in Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I mean, I did try and play that Marvel vs. Capcom 3, but I just didn't like it as much as Marvel vs. Capcom 2. But yeah, so, you know, it's gone. You know, tough, whatever. If you bought it, you did. If you didn't, then you don't. Let's have a look. Oh, here we go. Some Far Cry 4 stuff. January's Far Cry 4 DLC adds permadeath. Downloadable content for Ubisoft shooter Far Cry 4 adds permadeath. Escape from Duragesh prison, if I can say it properly, prison out 13th of January 2015 on Xbox Live and PC, and 14th of January on PlayStation Network. It's a time trial mode in which players race against the clock and other players to complete challenges for a spot on leaderboards. There we go. In the DLC, AJ and Herc wake up after being captured, tortured and stripped of their weapons in Yuma's prison. You need to complete a series of challenges to find weapons and unlock new skills while trying to reach the extraction point. You will have to keep running across Kyrat to complete side objectives dictated by Pagan Ming before a final standoff with Yuma's forces. You can play it in single player and in co-op. Ubisoft warned the DLC will be difficult, and it's easy to see why when you die, you have to start the mission over again. That's pretty cool, actually. Escape from Duragesh Prison is part of the PlayStation, part of the Far Cry 4 Season Pass, or can be bought separately. But yeah, I can understand that. You know, it's a very challenging game, and I mean, you know, with me, what I did with the fortresses and you know, basically all the sort of outposts, I just sort of went through the game stealthily. And you know, if you could find a decent sort of silence weapon when you're doing this sort of game, then you know, you should be pretty much set. But yeah, I'd say that does actually sound pretty fun and pretty interesting. Better than, I mean, I had to escape the prison through the main game anyway. But yeah, that does sound a lot more fun than what I did in the game. But you know, it's going to be fun, worth playing, I guess. If you bought the season pass, I mean, I don't think I have the game anymore. I think I sold it. But yeah, I say, what else we got? Let's have a look. Here we go. Yeah, this is interesting. Judge allows lawsuit over Killzone Shadow Falls 1080p graphics to proceed. In August, we reported, this is from Eurogamer, in August we reported on a class action lawsuit that accused Sony of misleading gamers when it said Guerrilla Games' PlayStation 4 exclusive first-person shooter will run at a native 1080p resolution. Scroll down, there we go. After the game's release alongside the PlayStation 4 last year, Eurogamer's Digital Foundry found Shadowfall's Shadowfall's multiplayer ran at 960 by 1080 with a higher quality temporal upscale. Essentially, the game was using information from previously rendered frames to plug the gaps. Killzone developer Guerrilla Games addressed this matter at the time with the following distinction. In both single-player and multiplayer, Killzone Shadowfall outputs a full upscale 1080p image at up to 60 frames per second. Native is often used to indicate images that are not scaled. It is native by that definition. In multiplayer mode, however, we use a technique called temporal reprojection, which combines pixels and motion vectors from multiple lower resolution frames to reconstruct a full 1080p image. If native means that every part of the pipeline is 1080p, then this technique is not native. Games often employ different resolutions in different parts of their rendering pipeline. Most games render particles and ambient occlusion. At a lower resolution, while some games even do lighting at a lower resolution. This is generally still called native 1080p. The technique used in Killzone Shadowfall goes further and reconstructs half of the pixels from that past frames. God, this is confusing the shit out of me. I don't know if it's confusing the shit out of you listeners. I'll keep going anyway. The plaintiff, Douglas Ledore, accused Sony of deceptive marketing. Sony had sought to have the lawsuit thrown out, a motion filed in October, arguing its representations about the graphics were false, that Ledore didn't accurately plead reliance on any alleged misrepresentation, that the game doesn't fall under the California Consumer Legal Remedies Act, and that the economic loss rule bars Ledore's tort claims for negligent misrepresentation. Fucking this is confusing the shit out of me. But on Tuesday this week, a judge in the US ruled the lawsuit could proceed. US District Judge Edward Chen denied all but one of Sony's arguments, saying its motion to dismiss was premised on an unduly narrow reading of the plaintiff's complaint. The substantial majority of the arguments Sony raises in the motion to dismiss can be rejected by two simple reasons. The judge says either Sony's argument ignores important factual allegations that are well pleaded in Ledore's complaint, or Sony's arguments require this court to construe the complaint in the light most favourable to Sony rather than Ledore, who is entitled to the benefits of all reasonable influences at this stage in the proceedings. The one successful argument on Sony's part revolved around the economic loss rule, since Ledore hadn't asserted any non-economic losses streaming from buying the game. The crux of the matter appears to resolve around the word native in his order, which I'm sort of confused about as well. Judge Chen admitted Sony may ultimately be correct that Killzone outputs videos in 1080p in multiplayer mode, but stresses that Ledore does not allege Sony's misrepresentations, the final output resolution of the game. The allegation is that Killzone's multiplayer graphics are not originally created or rendered in 1080p, so that the output cannot be considered a native 1080p, which is, I don't understand that bit. Instead, Ledore alleges that Sony relied on a technical trick to turn over lower resolution graphics into graphics that, in Sony's own words, appear subjectively similar to native 1080p. Judge Chen continues, but which Ledore's accounts were blurry and subpar. The suit is being handed by law firm Edelson, who previously took action against EA for failing to provide free digital copies of Battlefield 1943 with every purchase of Battlefield 3, as it was advertised, and it handled the class action lawsuit against against Sega and Gearbox for the Aliens Colonial Marines less than stellar quality. Yes, Lador has 30 days to file an amendment complaint, which, and this article came out, was it like last week, I think it was, so... Yeah, basically he's got like about, I think, two more weeks to go. So we'll keep following this story and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I say that's it's tricky to sort of see this stuff. I mean, I don't know, so half this legal stuff anyway. But yeah, I'm actually interested in seeing what happens with this. I mean, I can't really say anything until it's all been settled and sorted, but I am interested in seeing what's going on with it. I really am. Let's have a look. What else we got? Here we go, yeah. This came out this week. Some recent news that we, you know, surprisingly got. Yeah, here we go, from IGN. Xbox One designer and Xbox Live founder departs Microsoft. Boyd Muttere has left Microsoft to do something new, the software developer announced on Twitter today. He says, yeah, goodbye Microsoft, it was a good run, Xbox was great, time to do something new, he says. Muttere joined Microsoft full-time in 97, after doing contract work for the corporation since 94, and in 2000 he founded the development team for Xbox Live and was the first person on the system's online features, online networking service, which launched in 2002. Muttere left Xbox Live in 2004 to found and lead Microsoft's project to make gaming consoles for accessible for independent developers with the XNA programming language. He then led Xbox 360 OS teams before moving on to the being instrumental to the design of the Xbox One's core architecture. The new gen console consists of three operating systems that allow for multitasking between games, apps, and navigation. Muttere was working on unannounced secret stuff at Microsoft before revealing his departure today. Yeah, that's quite sad, because this guy sounds like a right, you know, smart lad, even at his age. But yeah, I say that's bad. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. What, you know, what he's working on that's new. But what was he working on secret stuff for Microsoft for Xbox Live? You know, we'll wait and see. But I say it's bad that he's leaving, but. You know, so you can't hang around forever. You know, the way stuff is these days, everything has a time limit. More stuff from IGN, here we go. It's Final Fantasy creator shows off cancelled RPG Cryon. Here we go, yeah. In 2008, AQ Interactive announced the cancellation of Cryon, an RPG in development from Hironobu Sakaguchi's studio Mistwalker. Now, almost exactly 6 years later, the Final Fantasy creator released a previously unseen trailer, which I haven't had a chance to watch yet, which I will do after the show. Sakaguchi published a trailer on his YouTube account, and it's fairly long, almost taking totally 4 minutes. It shows a female character sprinting through overgrown ruins with a small golem-like ally in tow as they escape from a dark substance. It also showcases music from Nobuo Uematsu, the composer of Final Fantasy fame, who was signed on to complete Cryon's score. Cryon would have been co-developed by Mistwalker and Drakengard developer Kimihiko Fujisaki, character designer who worked on The Last Story, Drakengard and FaZe Paradox, who also signed on to the cancelled 360 project. Xbox 360 project. Before Cryon cancellation, Sakaguchi, who was its producer and scenario writer, said players would partner up with the giants with a giant sand creature, and that game would have players in tears. But eventually, Player AQ Interactive canned the project after consideration of the current and future states of the game market. So basically, it wasn't what they wanted at that current time. But I don't know. I mean, if they've still got the assets for it, then you know maybe they can sort of pull bits out of it and, you know, make something for, you know, for this current generation, because we need something, isn't there? There's, like, no RPGs coming out. I mean, yes, we have Final Fantasy 14 and Final Fantasy 15, but, you know, and Dragon Age, to name a few, but I say it's to name a few. There's not nothing that's really blowing everyone's minds with, you know, I mean, we're still waiting on fucking, what the hell's the PlayStation one? Oh, shit, that one I was talking about last week, about the fucking kid with the giant dog with wings on it. I don't know, PlayStation's version of Neverending Story, whatever the fuck that's called. You know, whenever that decides to come out. Yeah, where we go, let's have find something else. Here we go. Is this what I was going to talk about? Hang on, just trying to find... No, not that one. It's trying to find fucking stuff to finish the show. Cause I'm running out of time, as I usually do. Here we go, yeah. This is something. This is from Eurogamer. Minecraft. Story mode is an episodic series from Telltale. Telltale Games has created story games for the likes of The Walking Dead, The Wolf Among Us. I love this. I wish they'd edit this fucking shit, because typo. It says The Wolf Among Us. That's quite funny. But yeah, Borderlands and even Game of Thrones. Now it's taken on Minecraft. Minecraft maker Mojang is working with Telltale on Minecraft Story Mode, which will be narrative-driven and about Minecraft. No shit. The first episode will be released at some point in 2015 for Xbox consoles, PlayStation consoles, PC, Mac, and iOS and Android devices. So it's episodic, like Telltale's other games, which says, we're not intending on creating an official story for Steve, Mojang said, or explain the world of Minecraft in detail. It would be a cool game. Here's the Telltale description. Set in the world of Minecraft, the series will feature an original story driven by player choice. It will not be an add-on to Minecraft, but rather a separate standalone product that will premiere in 2015 on consoles, computers, and mobile devices. Telltale Games series will mix new characters with familiar themes and an entirely original Minecraft experience inspired by the Minecraft community and a game that continues to inspire a new generation. Mojang created a fancy interactive press release to announce the game. I guess that's good. I mean, I don't see the point. I think Telltale are wasting their time when it comes to this. I mean, Minecraft doesn't really need a story because, I mean, the amount of copies this game has shifted and the amount of love it has, and, you know, I mean, I stopped playing Minecraft years ago, but it doesn't really need a story mode, especially this far long into its life cycle. People are too busy building shit to actually, you know, to make their own stories. People just having fun with other people when they play it in group sessions. I don't know, it just doesn't need... It doesn't need, whatever it is they're trying to do with this, to be honest. Here we go. Some Grand Theft Auto stuff that I've got here. Let's have a look at this one. This is from CVG. Rest in peace. Grand Theft Auto 5 debuts at number 3 on the Japanese charts. Weekly PlayStation 4 sales quadruple as Dragon Quest Metal Slime console is released. The PlayStation 4 version of Grand Theft Auto 5 debuted at number 3 on the Japanese software chart during the week ending of December 14th. Elsewhere on the chart, PlayStation 3 version of Assassin's Creed Rogue entered at number 10, according to data retail from Retail Monitor Media Create, which was published by NeoGAF. PlayStation 4 was the big move on the hardware front, as weekly sales more quadruple thanks to release of the limited edition Dragon Quest Heroes Metal Slime Edition console, which I'm looking at now. It's actually quite cool, to be honest. Dragon Quest Heroes launch in Japan, in Japan on February 26th in next year. The Metal Slime PlayStation 4 console comes with a code to download the game and a one-day early access to the title. Coming up, here we go. Yeah, just sort of looking at some sales here from Japan. Software, I don't know what software, hardware sales. I'm just looking at the previous week from thing was like 3DS was at 170,000. PlayStation 4 was 68,000. Wii U, I'm sort of looking at PlayStation 3 was at 7,000. I'm looking at the Xbox One. Xbox One was sold 724 units. And the Xbox 360 sold 102. Thing is, though, the PC, PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Portable, sold 8. I thought they stopped making that years ago. Months ago. But the Vita sold 25,000 units, so that's pretty decent. But a fucking Xbox, though, Jesus. I'm just sort of blown away by it. I mean, how bad that... I mean, the Wii U and the Vita are selling the exact same amount of copies. It just boggles my mind. It really does. Let's find some other stuff. Because there was some other Grand Theft Auto stuff about future DLC stuff. Let's have a look. Here we go, yeah. This is from CVG. Grand Theft Auto 5, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 will be supported with DLC for as long as possible. But Rockstar says the future updates may only be possible on the newer consoles. Rockstar has assumed players on PlayStation of the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 versions of Grand Theft Auto 5 that they won't be ditched in the favour of supporting owners of the recently released Xbox One and PlayStation 4 editions of the game. In an online Q&A, Rockstar spokesperson was asked, "Now that you have GTA 5 out for next-gen consoles, are you going to forget about the rest of us?" They responded, "We'll certainly not forget past-gen as players on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 can look forward to online heists and other updates that are in the works coming soon. We are incredibly thankful to our original generation of Grand Theft Auto 5 and GTA Online players on those systems, and wish them continue providing content to them for as long as we can." Of course, at some point in the future, there may be a point where we reach the limits for the previous generation of consoles, and as there may be some updates that are only technically possible on the new hardware. But we do hope to continue delivering as many updates as we can for all the four consoles and for as long as possible. Rockstar also said that it will offer GTA Online players a small Christmas gift, which I talked about last week, as a token of goodwill following the delayed release of the much-anticipated heist DLC missions, which will now launch in early 2015. Available now is the gift reportedly includes a Santa outfit, pyjamas, anti-tank mines, and a homing rocket launcher, which I'm... Well, it's in there. It's a permanent thing. So when I do get into the high stuff, I will pick that up, because no doubt a homing rocket launcher will be pretty good when I come to doing a bank heist. But yeah, I can understand that. I mean, but I can understand what they're saying about the fact that, you know, some updates for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, but you will be, other way around. The PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One will have these updates, whereas the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 won't. But to be honest, I mean, I'd like to think that most people have done what I've done and stopped playing the 360 and PlayStation 3 versions and basically just bought themselves the Xbox One and Xbox and PlayStation 4 versions. But, I mean, I did it because I wanted to play it again. But as you can transfer, you know, you can cross-transfer your stuff that you've earned. I mean, because I transferred my apartment and all the money I had from my Xbox 360 version to my PlayStation 4, which is cross-platform, cross-company, and did it fine. So hopefully people will be able to do that, and you know, you'll still get access to all these updates. I mean, you can buy it again. You don't have to play through the story. You just play the game and have some fun with it. But we'll wait and see. Let's talk about this. The new Steam controller design was leaked, apparently. This is from Eurogamer. The Steam controller has seen a new revision according to a document leaked from the files in the latest Steam client beta. As reported by Valve Time, the new design adds what appears to be a D-pad on top or in the lieu of the left tracker. It's not entirely clear if this means the D-pad has replaced the trackpad wholesale, but it's hard to imagine using the rest of the pad for anything else with a big plus symbol protruding from it. But to be honest, that's how consoles are. Console controllers are, anyway. Otherwise, it's not too difficult from the last... different from the last prototype design we saw in July. Last month, I told Tech Radar that it would be skipping CES 2015, but would have a large Steam machine. CES is, I think, February. January, February. a couple of weeks away. Steam Machine presence at GDC 2015 in early March, so we expect to see this new design in action, unless it gets changed again, that is. But yeah, I say, I guess it's good, but I mean, you can just, I don't know. I don't really bother with anything Steam. I mean, I does, and a bunch of other people I know use Steam, but it's not one of my things, I'm afraid. Let's go through some of this stuff that I'm trying to find, because it's not much news, and I've gone through most of it already. Oh, this is what I'm interested in. This is what I'm looking forward to. This is Eurogamer. Japanese crossover fighting game, J-Stars Victory versus Heads to Europe. This is one game we never expected to make it outside of Japan. Bandai Namco has confirmed crossover fighting game, J-Stars Victory versus, which launch in Japan in March 2014, will launch in Europe during the summer of 2015. And that's for the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and the Vita. J-Stars includes manga anime characters from Shonen Jump magazine, includes Kenshiro from and Rao from Fist of the North Star. One sec. Oh, excuse me, I'm dying here. Goku, Vegeta, and Frieza from Dragon Ball, and Naruto from Naruto, of course, and a couple of characters from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. This game, made by Spike Chunsoft, includes a story mode, a TV2 battle mode, and an arcade mode. The latter is added for the international release. Basically, it's a teaser trailer for this. But yeah, I say I've watched the teaser trailer. This game looks like fun. Lots of fun. And I'd love to have, Goku versus Naruto in a sort of, that sort of matchup. I mean, I did miss, it was one game, I can't remember what it was called, but it had like Karras from the Karras movie. It might be an obscure movie it's really good. It was like a 6-part OVA called Karras. It was like this guy who was like this black crow mech armored guy. And, he was like sort of in a demon world. And it was really good. Look it up. It's like Karras Prophecy or something. But yeah, he was in a fighting game. Which I would have loved to have played. I think it was like on the Wii U in Japan or something. The Wii U. It was on the Wii in Japan, and I think it came over here. But yeah, it was a really fun game. This is something I do want to pick up when it comes out during the summer. I'm hoping it's going to be a sort of, not budget title, but not something too expensive. 30-odd quid or something, that'd be nice. Here we go, yeah. The Sky 5 confirmed for Europe and North America. Let me scroll down. Yeah, tactical role-playing game Disgaea 5 launches in Europe and North America during the autumn of 2015. NIS America has announced that that's exclusively for the PlayStation 4, the company has confirmed. Disgaea 5 is actually the sixth home console entry in the Disgaea series. It features a new battle system called Alliance Attack, which opens up new special move when characters' relationships are approved appropriately aligned. Elsewhere, there were over 40 races and jobs, a character stat boosting system based on revenge, and a trip to the Netherworld. I've heard a lot about this guy's series, but I've never really played anything, so this might be something for me to actually, look into, possibly, but I don't know, we'll wait and see. What we got? Let's have a look. Let's try and find some more stuff. I'm literally running out of stuff. What's this? Ah, here we go, yes. Okie dokie. Yeah, here we go. Respawn founder discusses a secret project for Titanfall's future. Respawn Entertainment is split into two development teams, and one of them is working on something not related to Titanfall. The news comes from a Game Informer interview with Vince Zampella, Respawn's CEO. When asked about a second team, he reportedly responded briefly, but clearly saying, there is a second team, non-Titanfall related. The Titanfall team still exists as a fully functional team. We have another team in pre-production of that smaller, just starting up, but it's a much smaller group at this point. Earlier this year, Respawn hired Stig Amundsen, who formerly headed development on God of War 3 at Sony Santa Monica. When he was hired in June, Respawn said Asmundsen would not work on Titanfall. The interview yielded a few other bits about the future of Respawn and Titanfall. Titanfall is closing in on 8 million unique players. Zampella would consider making a free-to-play game, but he says that's not Titanfall's direction right now, basically because they need the money. He wants to maintain Titanfall's AAA brand for the short term. And Respawn Studio, future Respawn games may appear on Steam. When asked about the possibility of putting Titanfall on Steam, Zampella said, in regard to not having the game on Steam one day, he says, I think we would not make that same decision again. Zampella added that in 2015 will be a quiet year for Respawn because the team will be heads down back to work. So basically, we're not going to hear anything from them for next year, but you know, hopefully the year after, we will hear something. Hopefully, but I mean, it would be nice to see what they have, but I'm going to have to wait until you know, pretty much the year after. Here we go. This is something I like, because I've downloaded a demo for this, but I haven't played it yet. Batman of the Future character pack revealed for Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham. And basically, yeah, the new content available for just under $2 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, Xbox 360 features new character new playable character suits and villains, including Batman Terry McGinnis, who comes fully equipped with technologically advanced battle suit, bat suit, allowing him to fly, fire battering darts, and even turn invisible. Baddies, Blight, Sweet, and Joker are also included. That's cool. Yeah, Blight must look really cool in his Lego. There are reports that Batman and Future character pack may not be included within the season game season pass, but as it's clearly stated, one another way or the other, we've reached out to Warner Bros. Interested for clarification, and we'll let you know as soon as we know some. But yeah, basically they know bugger all. But yeah, I say that'd be really cool. I mean, I really need to play the demo, which I don't know. I certainly have to do this weekend, and I'll talk about next week's show. But yeah, I say I'm a big fan of Batman of the Future, or Batman Beyond as it's known in the States. Yeah, really good show, and a Lego form would be awesome. Let's try and see what else do we try and find, because I'm running out of time, but running out of topics as well. Let's have a look at this. Is there anything decent in this one? Let's give this one a go. This looks actually pretty cool. Atari. There we go. Remember them? Atari isn't out of ideas. It's got Atari Fit. This is from Eurogamer. What you thought Atari was milking Roller Coaster Tycoon, and that was it. Wrong. Say hello to Atari Fit. It's a mobile game, and it's gamifies exercising by rewarding points you can unlock old games like Pong and Centipede with. But that's exactly what you want from a fitness game. It's got 150 exercises, and it aggregates data from apps like Fitbit and Runkeeper, so you can keep all the stuff in one place. I should probably tell Kevin about this. It's a gamified fitness experience with an Atari twist, says Atari CEO Fred Chenaise. The game also features a reward points partnership with real-life pharmacy Walgreens, which is weird enough, to be honest. Atari Fit is coming in early 2015. This looks so... I don't know. I mean, it just looks really weird. It really does. And Atari Fit... Bad enough when Nintendo did this sort of shit. Let's have a look. Try and find some more stuff here. Okie dokie dokie dokie. Let's have a look. One second. Oh, hang on. What's this? Okay, there we go, yeah. Bandai Namco blocks access to Durant's Dark Souls PC mod. There's an update on this one. Let's read the original story first. Publisher Bandai Namco had access to Durant's popular Dark Souls PC mod blocked. Durant had released the mod called DSF Fix back in 2012 in a bid to fix the player's game's resolution. Eyebrows were raised when Digital Foundry discovered the game's shoddy PC port to be locked at 1024 by 720. offering no improvement over its console brethren. The download includes a DIL file to play within the game's directory on your PC, and a text file in which you can alter the resolution at will. Now posting on video games forum NeoGAF, Durant published an email that he had been sent by Dropbox, notifying him that Bandai Namco had filed a complaint under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and access to DSFX 2.3 had been blocked. As you can imagine, he reacted angrily. This is utter bullshit, of course, he said, especially since DSFX does not include any of their material. He says, I'm actually amazed that they would do this. I mean, what the fuck? Bandai Namco's moves come as a surprise because of the popularity of his Dark Souls mod. The superstar modder, yeah, right, I never heard of this fucker, repeated the trick for Dark Souls 2's PC release earlier this year, releasing a mod that adds downsampling and texture modding. So what's going on? Some have suggested that an automated search went after sites distributing Dark Souls debug.x and DSFix was flagged as part of the process. Let's hope so, Durant said. I seriously cannot imagine any other reason, which is reportedly the same. I mean, even by corporate publisher standards of sanity. He doesn't seem to keen on taking legal action against Bandai Namco. I don't know if I could, but certainly I won't. Well, because, you know, imagine fucking legal costs and this sort of shit. There's nothing in it for me. And Durant issued, insisted DSFix does not remove or replace content of the game. No, he says. The most they could claim is that a texture it includes to add DSFix enabled line to the startup screen, which I now remove from DSFix 2.3.1. He says, let's see what happens. None of the code is based on anything in Dark Souls in any way, shape or form. Eurogamer has contacted Bandai Namco for comments and will update as soon as it responds. And there was an update to this. Unconfirmed reports indicate that this was a mistake on Bandai Namco's part. A user on NeoGAF reports that the file defense service, which was hired by Bandai Namco's US arm to remove Dark Souls debug mode patch from the internet, did indeed have Durant's DSFix mod blocked. But it was not part of the plan. Apparently, FDS is having a conversation with Bandai Namco and Dropbox now about the reinstating access to the mod. We're still waiting on both Bandai Namco's response to the whole thing, but no doubt that will come out sooner or later. And this pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thank you all for listening. This has been the 2014 Game of the Year show. So, yeah, as you have heard, if you're listening live and, you know, download, Metro Redux was my game of the year this year, and, you know, great fun with it, with game and the book, and basically everything with it. But, yeah, I'd say 2014, yeah, it's pretty much, you know, last game of this, last show of the year, because, you know, it's 2015, about 2 or 3 days, and, yeah. It's been a good year. I've had a good year. I'm looking forward to 2015, mainly so I can get my TV shows back, because I'm tired of this holiday bullshit where everyone fucks off. I mean, I don't mind sitting down watching the same episodes of fucking Arrow and The Flash again, but I want new stuff, basically. But yeah, I say 2015, it's going to be an amazing year, even more than what this year was. I mean, we've got the fucking live event, which is going to be awesome in Florida. Make sure you get yourself down there, because I'm flying out, and none of you fuckers have got any excuse not to. If I can fly from the UK... you lot can come to the fucking live event as well. Yeah, I went on, got me a plane ticket a while ago, and I've got myself, picked my seats out today, so I've got some nice bit of extra leg room to put my, you know, giant body in anyway. But yeah, I say, you know, thank you all for listening. I say, if you all do want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Join the Facebook group, rather. Jesus, I'm all over the place. I'm still sick. facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio, and you can follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. And don't forget, say, coming up next, we have Alcohol by Volume, My Time Now, after with Johnny Five, and then you have Dutch and Royce finishing up the nights. And make sure you listen to Dutch and Royce, because there is no hair producer this week, because they're all having a party And basically, say it's because tomorrow is New Year's Eve and everyone else is basically getting fucking plastered and shit-faced. And I will be sleeping because I have work the next day. but yeah, say, you know, keep listening, morelikeradio.com, you know, go to there, find out any of the you know, basically all the shows that we have on there. And just basically get in touch, email everyone, you know, follow all the shows on Twitter, follow Morlock Radio on Twitter, and basically, you know, get involved, interact, listen to the show live, do whatever you can to basically help us be better than we already are, which, you know, doesn't take much because we are pretty awesome at the moment. And I will see you lot again next week. Have a good New Year's Eve. Don't get too shit-faced, but do everything responsibly. And I will see you next year. Take care, people. Bye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, hey, what a sure. Bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east, occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.